understanding that resurrection in our hearts and living it every single day and second in our life. Not just today. Amen? Hallelujah. So today, God is going to, I'm expecting that he's going to bring something fresh and new in our hearts. He did it to my heart, so hopefully it's going to be also something good and fresh for your heart, so that way we can continue learning more about the reasoning or purpose of Jesus Christ dying and raised from the dead, so that way we can have life. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, like always, for this time and moment. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for the great opportunity to understand and learn more about you, to be in your presence, to receive you in our hearts. Thank you for forgive us. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for he died and rose from the dead so that way we can receive life. Thank you for that big, big mercy that you have for us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we know that he's here right now in our hearts, in our life, to touch us and to reveal to us the blessing of being in your presence. Father God, in this moment, as you put in my heart to speak to this topic today, I ask you to be you speaking to the church. Please. I don't want to speak to the church. I want you to speak to the church. So please remove me out of this picture right now and be you speaking. We're just going to share your scripture, your word, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So I want to open these today with John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we know and learn here that Jesus Christ changed the water into wine. He's in the wedding in Cana in Galilee, but then after that event or that miraculous event, he then went to the temple courts. We talked about this a few Sundays ago. But I want to start this today because he says some words really important over here. And it's going to be verse 18 through 22. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to need help from the church today. Yeah, like always. The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Remember, this is after he was saying the house of the Lord is a house of prayer, not a house of market. You know the story. Now after that, the Jews is asking this to Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? What are you going to show us? You have this authority to do these things in the temple. Verse 19 says, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple." Man, it's too early for this. "And I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days, but the temple he had spoken of was his body." Today I want to talk about the temple. Unexpected. We were expecting to talk about resurrection. Yeah, it's related to that. Because according to the scripture, Jesus Christ says, destroy this temple, the physical temple. But then the reference, that's the mentality of them over there, the Jews. But the reference that Jesus Christ was talking about, it was his body. He was talking about his body and saying, destroy it. and I will rebuild in 3 days. So you have to go through a process to then rebuild this temple. According to the scripture, you know that you and I, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. Because he's showing to us through the scripture, I need to die. This temple will be destroyed. And then I will create and rebuild a new temple. Mark 14:58, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days we'll build another not made with hands. Mark 15:29, those who passed by heard insults at him, shaking their heads saying, so you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down and save us. Remember those words? This is the people that he was accusing Jesus Christ. I don't know if for you it is important or not, but he's in the courts. He's in this specific moment that he's getting press charges. And the first thing that these people are saying, it is, hey, you say that you're going to destroy the temple, which he was not talking about the physical one, and that you're going to build it in 3 days. So they were trying to accuse him about a liar. And according to scripture, when he was over there, he didn't say anything. He just like. Now he was on the cross. And now the people were looking at him and say, hey, you, remember that you say that you're going to build the temple in 3 days? Come down there, save us. It's really important for me that these people and the Bible, God allows the Bible right now that we have it in our hands and we read and learn and continue growing with this word, allow that specific topic over there, that these people are just accusing Jesus Christ to come down the cross and build the temple that he was talking about. They talk about things, right? But while God allows to be in the scripture, it was that specific topic of, you say that you will destroy the temple, which that's not what he say, and you will be rebuilding it in 3 days. Why this is so important? Let's go back to the story. Genesis, creation, man, woman, humanity, everything. God wants us to be with him, in relationship with him all the time, worshiping him. We break that. And now we go through the whole story. Moses, law, tabernacle. Because God is trying to look to get us to be closer to him, to fix our life, to remove the sin out of our hearts and our mind, and be more in close relationship with him. So now he gave these instructions and saying, this is the tabernacle. Let's build it this way specifically, with the courts, the holy place, the most holy place, all these specific details, because he wants to be with us. We meant to be worshiping him all the time. You can see the tabernacle as a representation of God being with us all the time. In that moment, the tabernacle, it was created so that way it's portable. God can go with you every place that you go. And that was the moment of the priest. That's why he gave the law. And specifying over there that we have a high priest in that moment named Aaron, the brother of Moses. So he established all this structure just to teach and learn how it's supposed to be. And then present the animals in worshiping, in sacrificing, so that way we can present us as a gift from our heart also, so that way we can transfer our sin to that specific animal and present it to God in sacrifice, so that way we can temporarily be clean in our hearts and mind. And this high priest will present it maybe was just one time a year in the Yom Kippur. They present it, and they also has to be specifically from what God says in the law. Number one, you know, the Levi. You have to be from the tribe of Levi, right? And also, it has to be a human being like you and me, so that way he can get clean also, and then also represent himself for the people and get clean. Now, let's pass that. Now we are with the kings. What happened with the kings? Let's build the temple. Now it's not the tabernacle anymore. Now it's the temple. In the temple, you guys know that David couldn't build it. And God allowed his son Solomon to build that temple, the first temple. Greatest, amazing temple. With the same reason, trying to be close to the people. Now, this temple, it has to be stationary. Beautiful, amazing, bigger, with the whole system and structure. It got destroyed. And then, years later, we have another king. Hopefully, help me over here, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel? I don't know, sorry. My apologies. With that king, they built the second temple. And what happened is that that temple, 20 years after Jesus Christ showed up into the earth, or on the earth, that temple got extended and remodeled a little bit by the king Herod. Okay? And that's the temple that Jesus Christ went over there and walked by and throw the tables and get frustrated and then start saying, don't market in this temple because this is supposed to be house of prayer. 70 years after Jesus Christ died and raised from the death, that temple get destroyed by the Romans. And that's what we can see right now in Israel, the West Wall. Just a little portion over there from the West Wall. That's what we got left. And as you know, as a prophetic word, the Israelites, they have an institute right now. They're trying to build the third temple as a prophecy because they're still waiting the Messiah. But they're still waiting the Messiah as a king. Jesus Christ is a king of kings. But they're still waiting for that king that is going to be ruled over Israel. You and I, we already know that that king already came, died for us, raised from the dead, and that's how we can get to this temple now. Now that I explain everything, when we go to 1 Kings chapter 2, Solomon sent back this message to Hiram. You know that because of the wars waged against my father David from all sides, he could not build a temple for the name of the Lord his God until the Lord put his enemies under his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary or disaster. I intend, therefore, to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father David when he said, your son, whom I will put on the throne in your place, will build the temple for my name. Why David couldn't build that temple? Because he was a man of war. And according to scripture in 2 Samuel 24, he say, again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And he incited David against them, saying, go and take a census of Israel and Judah. 1 Chronicles 28:3. But God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name because you are a warrior and have shed blood. Ouch. A man after God's heart. Love God. So the first question that I ask God, and I guess passing along to you too, what is the battles that you are facing right now that we are not understanding that he already finished that, that he already won that war? Because according to scripture, David couldn't build that temple because all the blood that he shed in that moment when he was a warrior, when he was fighting. There were some fightings that it was by God, but there was other fightings that were not by God. By the human being, by my own desires. I was fighting my own battles and win. And then God or David shared with them and say, let me get this census to see how many people do we have. And then he count 800,000 and 500,000. Over 1 million people. Why? Because he wants to learn and understand, I have all these people following my instruction. I'm taking the authority here. I'm taking the place and glory of God because I'm winning all this war and I'm shedding all this blood because all the people that is following me. He was the one leading everything. God is the one leading you. God is the one winning the battles, not you. And that's the part that we need to understand and learn. Because that was the reason why David couldn't build the temple. Now, when we go to the story, let's go to Hebrews. Hallelujah. Hebrews. Let's start for chapter 5. 6. And he says, in another place, you are a priest forever. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the throne, to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Now we're talking about the King of Kings. Now we're talking about the high priest. Because in order to build the temple, according to scripture, God needs to give you peace. Solomon could build the temple because he had rest. He had peace. And God put the enemies under his feet. Now, when we bring this scripture and says, wait a second, God is King of Kings, he's coming from the tribe of Judah, that makes sense. How he can be a high priest if he's not a Levite? And that's why the author from the book of Hebrews, he say, according the order of the word in the Hebrews original of Melchizedek. Let's go to Genesis 14. Genesis 14, we don't know too much about Melchizedek. It's a mystery. Genesis 14, it mentioned a little bit of that. Psalm 110 also mentioned some a little bit, and then Hebrews. That's it. But we need to explain this because otherwise how Jesus Christ, according to the law, can be a high priest if he's not from the tribe of Levi? And now the author from Hebrews, he's explained it over here. He said, oh, because he's from the he's from the high priest order of Melchizedek. 14. Hallelujah. 17 through 24. After Abraham, before Abraham, returned from defeating, help me. Thank you. After Abraham returned from defeating that king and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. Now, how Melchizedek can be a high priest before the law? There's a lot of teachers, theologians, name it. They say that was a representation of Jesus Christ. That's fine. We keep it over there. We can learn more about it, read it, study it. But let's just focus about Melchizedek, high priest, before Abraham, before the law, before Moses. He was already high priest. But he was also a king. A weird situation over here. Because a king is a king. A high priest is a high priest. Not both. Melchizedek, he's a high priest and king because the Most High declared that. He proclaimed that over the life of Melchizedek. Now, when we learn more about the significance or meaning of that word Melchizedek, it's a compound word, composite, two words, Mel and Kisedek, which it means king of righteousness. And that's why Jesus Christ, it is a king of righteousness. And it is important to understand this because Salem in that moment, it is Jerusalem right now, is the same place. And this king, Melchizedek, it was also the high priest in that location. So he was covering both of those roles. Jesus Christ also covered both roles. So Jesus Christ came here, John 2, he say, this body will be destroyed and I will rebuild it in 3 days. So that way it can be a temple for you and me to dwell. But in order to do that, the building of that temple, it have to be through the resurrection. Melchizedek, he was a special man. No genealogy. He don't have any family, according to Scripture. There's nothing before and after him. There's not too much about him right now that we can learn about it. So that's why the Scripture, it says, Jesus Christ, by the order of the high priest Melchizedek, he is a high priest also. He is a high priest, but also a king. That's why when Jesus Christ went to the court that night, who went to where? To the high priest. Before Pilate. That was the first one. And that's when the guys over there say, hey, he said that he's going to build the temple in 3 days. And he didn't say anything. Because right now in that moment, he was building the kingdom of God on earth as a king. To become the high priest, he will die and resurrect. And then he's a high priest and build the temple so you and I can dwell in him. That's why in Hebrews 7, I'm going through 1. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham, returning from the defeat of the kings, and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. All the time, right now, this moment, he's still your priest. Your most high priest is Jesus Christ. But to be a most high priest, he need to have a temple. His temple is his body. It's really interesting that Jesus Christ, in that moment that he died, that he was on the Last Supper, he presented the bread as his body and the wine as his blood. What Melchizedek present to Abraham? The same two components. And it was after Abraham defeated the enemies by him. Everything is his glory. He defeated the enemy through Abraham. Abraham came and get Melchizedek on the road. The first two things that Melchizedek did is bread and wine. Praise the Most High God because he gave you the victory. He gave you the victory because he was the one defeating your enemies. And you understood that, Abraham. Thank you. That's why Jesus Christ in the Last Supper did the same thing. This is my body. And this is my blood. And you and I, we are receiving that as a salvation. But also as a temple. So we can, what is the purpose of that temple? Worshiping, presenting sacrifices. But sometimes you and I, we're still dealing with some enemies in our life. I know they're going to be there, that's fine. But God already defeated them. And he put it under. So believe, trust that Jesus Christ is our temple and we can dwell in him. That's why Isaiah 53:11 says, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Jesus Christ, through us. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way like you and me, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's why when the author of Hebrews used the representation of Melchizedek in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ is the high priest. He's not coming from the Levi. He's coming like Melchizedek, from the high priest. And that's why he is our high priest. The calling is from God. He is the one defeating your enemies. He already defeated the enemies in your life. And that's why we allow to receive that temple. I want to close with 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. First Corinthians 15. Verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. Pay attention to that one. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God. Kingdom, it's talking about the king. The Father. After he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Thank you, God. We praise you. It is a great blessing learning that he specified that topic of rebuilding that temple in 3 days. So that process, I'm here as a king, I'm presenting the kingdom of God. Now all the enemies are under the feet of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. I'm giving you the kingdom back. Thank you for giving all the dominion, power, and authority. And now, the resurrection. Building the temple. He rebuilt the temple, his body. And now we can say, thank you. Because you defeat the last enemy, which is death. You and I, we are living right now. You and me, that we believe in Jesus Christ. There's no death in our life. There's no death that is going to be against us. Maybe physically, that's fine. But spiritually, internally, is the most important one. And that one, we're here enjoying that moment, that life. Thank you, God, for that opportunity to rebuild the temple so we can get together and worship you and praise you and continue being in relationship with you. And that's the meaning of those 3 days of process, and then resurrection happened, so we can get that blessing of being more in his presence through the temple. Hosea 2. The prophet says, after two days, he will revive us. On the third day, restore us. He will restore you and me, that we may live in his presence all the time, every single day. I'm not talking here. It's his word. Hallelujah. 2 days during that process, according to that scripture, you and I, we were revived in that moment. Because he was carrying all yours and my sins on that cross. But in that third day, restoration, temple, got restored. Hallelujah. So that way the presence of the Lord is with us all the time. And that's really the meaning of resurrection. Praise God. I love you. Thank you. We worship you. We praise you. Father God, we're doing this with a humble heart. We understand that we do not deserve this, that all this is by grace. We're doing all this because of your mercy, because you are the one glorifying. Because you are the one controlling everything and orchestrating everything. You are the one providing everything. You are the one providing love, your scripture, the Holy Spirit. You are the one. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your death and resurrection. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to receive you. Being revived, to being restored, so that way we can be in your presence. Thank you for rebuilding the temple again through Jesus Christ, so we can worship you, so we can continue being in that presence. We love you and we praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, you already know. I'm just going to a corner. They're going to worship God the last one. But if you feel the presence of the Lord and you want to come over to the altar is open. It's because of him, nobody else. Please feel free if you feel the presence of the Lord, okay? God bless you.
He is so worthy to be praised.
From Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from the brook along the way. And so he will lift his head high. Amen. That's your God. That's our God. Please. Praise. praise God all the time. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings. He's your high priest. He's everything in your life. Worship Him. Praise Him. You will see His glory. Always glorify Him. Praise God. Church, thank you always for being here. Thank you for coming. Have fun. Enjoy the time. Enjoy the life. Enjoy your family. Always with God in mind. Amen. We worship God. We praise God. We declare that God is in your life and that you're going to have a great rest of your day and also great rest of your week. Please, if you need any prayer, we're here. Please come over. We'd like to pray for you for your needs. But if not, have fun. Enjoy the day and also the rest of your life in His presence, in His temple. Jesus Christ, you are the temple. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, church. Love you. Love you. God bless you. See you next time.